Hi there. It's me, Illusions. I don't really know what I'm going to be talking about. It's the end of a month. It's the end of February of 2021. And I'm taking stock, I guess. I've always thought that February is the cruelest month. Sort of like Tuesdays are the cruelest days. I'll defend my Tuesday statement. It's not Monday that people have to look out for. Everyone's always like, oh, somebody's having a case of the Mondays. Or Mondays. But for me, I feel like everyone's always bracing themselves for Mondays, so they pretty much, they know they're walking into a Monday. It's Tuesdays that really hit them, you know, that really hit me. So I'm braced for a Monday, and I'm like, okay, all right, Monday's gonna suck. And then, you know, it doesn't suck that badly, not usually. And then Tuesday comes, and you have this whole week stretching out in front of you. And historically, awful things have happened to me on Tuesdays. I don't know why. So, I posit that February is sort of like Tuesdays. By February, we've already had, those of us in my part of the world or in the Northern Hemisphere, we've had months of dark and cold and gloom. For the people who don't like to go outside in the cold, we've been cooped up inside. I do like to go outside in the cold. I consider it vital. If I didn't go outside all winter, I would probably wither away like a little old lady or a big old lady. Anyway, I feel like February is cruel because, you know, Christmas is over. The new year is over for those who celebrate those things. We hit January and often there's this surge of new hope and resolutions and all these optimisms about the coming year. And then February comes, and at least what has held true this year is that we had an incredible cold snap that was jarring, to say the very least, and actually dangerous and deadly to a lot of people. It's dark. It's gloomy. All of a sudden, it starts feeling like you're never going to see light again. And when are things going to get better? And sort of like Tuesdays, there's this whole year stretched out ahead that you don't know what's going to happen. Are things going to be better? Will it get warmer? Will you see the light again? And of course, the answer has to be yes, because it can't possibly get worse, right? And in most of the places I have lived in my life, I've lived in states in the United States where it would not be unusual to have a couple of surprise, glorious days in February where maybe it would hit 60 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny and everyone would be outside rejoicing like winter is over. But I think even by the time I was a teenager, I had learned that February is not to be trusted. February will lure you in with promises of spring, and then it will shut you down with a hard, cold freeze. And suddenly it'll feel like winter's never going to end. And I do liken this a little bit to depression for anyone who has ever struggled with seasonal depression, situational depression, clinical depression. It's extraordinarily more common than a lot of people realize. And it can feel, when you're in it, like there is no way out. It can feel like it has always been this way, and it will always be this way. It has always been dark and cold and hopeless, and it will always be dark and cold and hopeless. When I've been there, and I have been there many more times than I would like to count. Every time I've been there, I've told myself, this is a trick your mind is playing on you. You know it won't last forever. You know there is an end in sight. But depression is a little devil that wants you to stay with it. It wants to trick you. It wants to pull you down and whisper secrets and poison in your heart to make you stay there. And I kind of think February is a little bit like that, but luckily February has no control over time, and it does eventually end. And it may be muddy, as it is where I am right now. We have about 6 or 8 inches of snow melt followed by a day of hard rain. So everything is mud. Everything is mud and water. But you know what? I'm so grateful that it's warm enough that we have mud and not ice. So where was I? I'm taking stock. I just this evening posted a sort of like a month in review. I was going to do it weekly, but I already have to do a week in review for my work, and I'm always behind on that, so I think a month is better. Looking at what I've done publicly during the month of February surprised me. There's quite a bit that I didn't include in my month in review post because it's either private or for a partner, also private. And my first thought was, no wonder I'm always so tired. And my second thought was, how can I do more? I do want to do more. But I also want to be more focused. These past 4 or 5 days, I've been channeling my energy in a different way and focusing more fully on the present moment, whether that's my day job, which I love. My day job involves work that I'm passionate about, completely separate from this right here. My day job involves work that, when I first found it, was so surprising to me and so fulfilling, and I felt so lucky that I had finally found something that was work I could do and get paid for, that was also doing some good in the world and had a social justice element. Instead of just working for the man, first of all, I cast absolutely no aspersions against anyone who works for the man, because you got to work for somebody. And I've worked for the man, and sometimes I fantasize about working for the man because then I might have really amazing health insurance if I worked for the man. I am super grateful that at this point in my life, I'm not working for the man. I'm not a cog in a wheel of capitalism. The work I'm doing directly benefits the people in my community and then beyond. And I feel incredibly lucky to be a part of that. And so I've been channeling my energy to really focus on what that work is, because I owe that to the work and to my job. I am nothing if not dedicated to the people I serve, whoever those may be. And I've been letting my attention and focus be fractured in many different directions. It's probably still going to be that way, but I am looking for a little bit more channeling of focus. I'm also focusing, this past week, I've done a lot of work on my home. I'm not a person who decorates, or I don't have a color scheme. I don't decorate for holidays. Oh, well, I didn't until this last year, but I'm not a person who spends a lot of time, energy, and money on cosmetic things. I really enjoy going into homes where people do focus on that. So this isn't it's not that I don't appreciate those things. It's just that at some point in my life, I just kind of decided that that's not something I'm going to put my own time, energy, and money into. That being said, I am aware of how dramatically my environment affects my mood and energy and everything. So much as I don't want to clean my kitchen, I don't want to focus on these worldly things. I have to. If I do a whirlwind clean of my kitchen and I get it sparkling clean, it's an instant mood lift and energy boost. And I need to always remember that. So I do just enough to keep my environment in a state that supports me being able to actually focus and not be thrown into a tailspin. I think I've shared in some live recordings that when my kids aren't here with me, I tend to kind of live like a frat boy or a college student. I'm trying to work on that a little bit, taking care of myself a little bit more in those times. But when they're not here, I tend to just really throw myself entirely into all of my work, my day job, my audios, pictures, video, just whatever. And I don't want to mess with eating and cleaning and cooking and all of those things. But I'm realizing that those are things that I do actually have to pay a little bit of attention to if I want to make myself a sustainable being. So there's that. I've kind of hunkered down. I got real sick about a week ago. I don't even remember now. I got bronchitis, and well, bronchitis can take a while to fully recover from. I am not 100% in my energy and breath. And that's tough. It's tough to recognize that. And I tend to be just like, well, whatever, I can do it. Well, actually, I can't always. And that's okay to realize. I mean, I'm telling myself this as a reminder. We are human beings and we have limitations. And it's probably a good thing that I got so sick and it forced me to take stock, as I am doing now. So, I've been... am I just going to do a brain dump? I'm going to just do a brain dump. Here's what I want. Oh, side note. A week or so ago, I signed up for an audition for a local to me a theater project. Growing up, I always had a bent for entertainment and the theatrical, but I always felt intimidated by actual theater people and acting people. My background was more, I've been playing piano since before I could walk. I wrote my first song when I was 3 years old. I do remember that I had a hard time with associating the notes with letters, and I had a better time with numbers. So I have this distinct memory of, I think my mother maybe putting pieces of tape on the notes, on the keys of the piano, and writing numbers on them. And all the music I wrote had numbers instead of letters. It took me a while to come around to the letters instead of the numbers. I also had this really weird hang up on chords. Like, I had been studying piano for years and I could sight read amazingly well, but chords, for some reason, were initially so difficult for me to wrap my head around. And I remember my music teacher just looking at me like, I don't understand why you don't understand these chords, because you can play this and you can do this. So what? But this is kind of how I learn, and we all learn in different ways. So there were things that I excelled at with piano, and then other things that I just hit a block until years later, when I was reading something completely unrelated and something just clicked in my brain, and I understood, and then all the chord stuff just came into place, and then that really helped with my songwriting a lot. But wow, I'm digressing a lot. So growing up, I was a gregarious child. I loved to sing and dance and perform in front of my family and my extended family and my parents' friends. And I have distinct memories of these things, but I know now, because I'm a parent myself, and I understand what my parents were trying to do when they, from my perspective, when they discouraged me from pursuing anything artistic. From their perspective, I understand now. They wanted me to live in reality. They wanted me to get a job that was secure and to use my brain for something that would be able to support me in my adulthood. And they never actually discouraged me from pursuing music or writing or acting. But how I internalized all of those lessons when I was a child was by determining that those things were not for me. I did sing all through high school, and I did contests, and I performed very well. I played the piano just well enough to get some scholarships. I wrote. I was the only freshman admitted into a junior and senior level master's writing class. But in the back of my mind, it was always known to me that these things were not for me. I went to a high school that was geared toward the performing and visual arts. It was amazing. A wonderful opportunity for a girl like me coming from a very small town. It was an inner city high school. There was an incredible theater department. It was a brand new state-of-the-art school with a black box theater, a recital hall, a 300-seat small theater, and then a large performance hall. Dance studios, art studios, professional music practice rooms, all of these amazing things. And a few times I considered going into the theater department, but I was so intimidated by those people. Even at that age, looking back, I realized we were all just kids, you know. No one was better than anyone else. But I did not consider that acting was something that I could pursue. There was a brief thing where there was a mime troupe, and I was recruited into the mime troupe. A kid came to my table one day at lunch and said, "We've been watching you. We're in the mime troupe." Oh, I'd love to name the mime troupe, but that might make me even extra Googleable. So it was a mime troupe. "We've noticed that you have a ridiculously expressive face." It might have been ridiculously over expressive face. "Do you want to be in our mime troupe?" I said yes. I joined. I was in the mime troupe for most of that year. I wish I had those pictures. We did a lot of things that you don't necessarily think of as... Whoops. I got interrupted, but... So, we didn't do what most people think of as mime things, but the end came when, I was a scampery thing in those years. I was tall and skinny and quirky, and I don't think that was the year I shaved my head, but I was a little quirky looking. People often compared me to Annie Lennox, the way I looked and the way I dressed. They wrote me, they choreographed me a part in a sort of like a, it was going to be like a dance, an interpretive dance music video to the song "Birdhouse in Your Soul" by They Might Be Giants. And I was blown away that these people who I perceived as infinitely more experienced and skilled and graceful and beautiful and all of those things, more than me, I was blown away that they wanted me for that role. Looking back, I mean, it was kind of perfect based on how I looked and how I moved. But I went to a few rehearsals, and they had the whole troupe basically supporting me as the main character in this dance movement. And dance is a whole other can of worms that I can't even get into tonight. That is the first time that I can remember ghosting on an opportunity that was given to me. I didn't feel good about it. I've never felt good about anything like that. But I went to a rehearsal, and I looked at all the people around me, and they all just seemed to know what they were doing, and they all spoke a similar language that I didn't speak, because I wasn't a theater or dance kid, and they were. Again, looking back, I mean, I think we all tend to approach situations, especially when we're young, as if we're an island and we expect other people to extend a bridge to us instead of to extend our own bridges. I just felt so out of my element and so inferior that couldn't bear it. And, of course, rather than handle that in a graceful way, you know, please accept my sincere apologies, but I am hereby withdrawing my membership in your amazing mime troupe. Instead of any of that, I ran away. I avoided phone calls. I have, you know, ducked down hallways so they didn't see me. I didn't really ever say what was happening. And that was the first of many, many, many such opportunities or wonderful things that could have happened to me that I let my fear take over. I let my fear poison the well and poison me. And after that, I just stayed completely clear of the drama department, the dance department. And I thought firmly, I am a singer and I'm a pianist. Well, I'm not even a pianist. I'm not even a singer. But those are my lanes. Also writer, I guess. Except I also totally ghosted the writing director. That's an entirely different story. What happened over and over again for a number of years, beginning around then, was something amazing being offered to me. Winning a contest, as I did, my freshman year of that high school, I wrote an essay for a holiday, and it was a contest. I actually wrote it the day that it was due because I was a procrastinator, and my teacher came to me in a panic that morning and said, "Your essay is due today. Have you done it?" And I had not. And I wrote something very quickly, and it ended up winning the entire city that I lived in, a fairly large city. It won out of all the freshmen in the city, and it also won the entire high school population of the city. Like, it won the city high school essay thing. It was the grand prize winner. And I was honored at this awards ceremony, and there was money, and I got invited to the mayor's church to read the essay, and I met like a famous football player, and these are all wonderful, wonderful things. But the success poisoned me, as well as, I think I mentioned that I was the only freshman in this upper grade level master's writing class. Master writing class. And I overheard an upperclassman disparaging my essay and saying something like, "Oh, well, she wrote about blah, blah, blah. Her personal experience as a blah, blah, blah. That's why she won." And that might have been true. Quite frankly, it's difficult for me to, even all these years later, if I had the essay, which I probably do have somewhere, it's impossible for me to read it and to be able to accurately say, "Yeah, this is pretty good," or "This is utter garbage and I never should have achieved those things." I don't know. But from that point on, everything I did with writing, which writing before had been a passion of mine, I mean, my first passion, it was poisoned. And I kind of stuck with it for the next year and a half. And then somewhere in my junior year of high school, I was also doing very well. I was excelling. it seems like the more accolades I received, the worse I felt, and the more of a fraud I felt. And I ended up just leaving the writing program. Again, I didn't do it gracefully. I just left. I didn't talk to my mentor, who had coddled me for almost 3 years. I simply stopped going. And that, along with how I handled the whole mime situation, kind of became my trademark for the next number of years. When I went to college, I was the only freshman in an honors writing class, and my very first essay or story or whatever writing piece received glowing remarks. And I used that as a weapon against myself, and I left the class. Again, of course, not actually withdrawing from the class, but I just stopped going because that's how I did things in those days. So for years and years and years, if anything good happened to me, or if I received praise or any sort of recognition, I immediately changed course and stopped whatever it was that had won me that praise. Where am I going with this? I don't know. In that podcast interview that got taken down, I mentioned that sometimes I come across as drunk or stoned when I'm actually just very tired. And that is definitely the case right now. I first sat down here intending to record some poetry or a meditation, a relaxation audio, but instead I just started talking, and I see that it's been 32 minutes and I am still talking, and I've shared things that I probably shouldn't share, but I'm so tired of hiding. Oh, that whole rant was because I auditioned for a community theater, a civic theater, community theater kind of thing, a week or so ago. The town I live in is, it's not really a city. It's like a small city or a big town, depending on your perspective. It is very full of highly educated, extremely talented musicians, artists, actors. It's just filthy with talented and educated people. And I've only previously auditioned for one sort of acting-ish thing in this town. And the experience was terrifying because I was the only person there who wasn't at least a part-time working actor. At the time, I didn't have any acting experience whatsoever. Anyway, I auditioned for this thing. I got a part, like a fairly major part. And it's causing me some reflection on, I'm having to peel away my own armor and my own lies to myself. When I lie, by the way, it's never intentional. And it's usually to myself. Anyway, I'm realizing that I've maybe for my entire life wanted to be an actor, but I buried that so deeply that I I didn't even know that until about 18 months ago. Like, legitimately did not know. And I buried that and compartmentalized that and shut that off so completely from my own consciousness that, I mean, in high school, my final year of high school, I went back to my local high school, not the amazing arts school that I talked about previously. And in that local high school, I did feel comfortable auditioning for things because it was just full of regular people like me. And so I ended up getting a prominent part in the fall musical. And then the spring play was Arsenic and Old Lace, which is a wonderful play, an old one. And I got the lead, and I was so stunned. And looking back at everything I've ever auditioned for that was acting before, say, 2019, I was probably, what's the word? Competent. I probably got the lead in that play because I had a clear speaking voice and I could project. My acting was so shut down because I was so shut down and I was so separated from who I was as a human being, as a woman, that I knew I wasn't an actor. And then in the middle of 2019, before I found GWA, I auditioned for a local production in my town. That's the one that, oh God, if I hadn't posted on my own Facebook that I was going to this audition, I would have walked out when I got there because I got there and there were people who were very clearly working actors. And I was not. And I didn't even understand the terminology they were using. They handed me these papers and said, these are your sides. And I was like, what are sides? I didn't realize that I should have been rehearsing my lines. Well, I was waiting to be called back. It's a freaking miracle that the director, who was also the writer, saw something in me. And he ended up writing me a part for this production. It honestly, it might have been my singing and not my acting. But it was a very small cast, 8 or 9 people total. And this always makes me giggle to think of because my character was a love interest to the main characters, to the protagonist. And I still remember my beloved director giving me these notes. Everyone else in the production, they had acting backgrounds. They knew what to do to understand their characters' motivations, etc. I kind of know that stuff now, at least a little bit, but I didn't then. I thought like, oh, I'll just have my lines. Why would I need to do anything else? But he consistently kept telling me that my character wasn't sexy enough and I needed to sex it up. And it wasn't until our dress rehearsal that I really dug deep and I looked into the eyes of the protagonist and I spoke my lines and I really turned on the character. And I still remember how pretty much everyone in the room started fanning themselves, male, female, whatever gender. But this is all to say that I've been very disconnected from the concept of acting and from myself and from my dreams. And I think that in the last few months, I've slowly been arriving at the realization that all along, I've wanted to be an actor. Oh my God, no, that sounds
I can't even say that with a straight face, so I don't know if it's true or not.
What do I know? I know that I love what I'm doing here. That I want to be more focused about it. Well, a combination of focus and fly by the seat of my pants. I want to make content that you love. I want to make you feel good because making you feel good is what makes me feel good. So, thank you for coming to my 41-minute ramble that had no goal, no focus, no coherency, might possibly carry the sound of a teenage boy making very loud sounds above my head. I'm very tired. I'm weary. I want February to be over, and I don't want any Tuesdays. But for you, I hope if you're still listening that you found something of comfort, or if nothing else, just listening to the sound of my voice, that perhaps you found it soothing. And I hope the coming month and the coming week and the coming days are kind to you, as they should be. And I wish you a good night and sweet dreams, because you deserve that.